is simply the understanding of how we create our own experiences or our perception of them the key to an athlete's wellness and mental health, both on and off the field of competition? Well, it is according to this week's world famous expert. This is the Thrive Podcast, the podcast that gives you the opportunity to, well, thrive. This is, if there's one person that you would say, who do you want in the world of psychology, high performance, to come on a podcast like this, it would be our guest. He is a trained psychologist, author of a number of books, and of course a high performance expert. He is the very well-respected Mr. George Pransky. Welcome to the Thrive Podcast, George.
Well, I really appreciate you inviting me.
We feel very honoured to have you, I can assure you. Listen, I know already a number of the, a lot of your work and the messages that come from it. And I think I'm just going to go straight in here and say to you, how does thinking affect our lives?
Well, that's a very profound question. The fact that we think is the most, the fact that we're thinkers is the most profound thing about human beings. The fact that they think.
Can you elaborate? Never mind what.
Well, the fact that people are thinking creatures. People don't realize that people are thinking creatures. That's what we do in our lives. We think. And, you know, the saying that I like is, I think and I know it. That's a strong statement about human beings. I think and I know it. So I know people know that they are the thinkers. And if they don't, they're into a rude awakening.
And how does thinking affect our lives? It sounds like a very easy question and almost like nursery-like question, but it's not.
Or to focus it on athletes, how does thinking affect the lives of athletes? The mental wellness and their ability to perform?
Well, I don't know that people realize the fact that they're thinkers. I think that's invisible to human beings. So if you ask them, they would say, "Well, I only think as much as I have to." You know, they don't really understand how much they think in the course of their lives. And sometimes people think very intensely, and sometimes they're very relaxed with their thinking. And that is a variable. The question is, how much pressure do they put on themselves with their thinking?
George, on that, one of the distinctions that I learned from you is the difference between being invested and being involved, and how that affects the lives of high performers like athletes in terms of how they approach a tennis match, how they feel, how they compete. Can you share more about the difference between being invested and being involved?
Yeah, I absolutely can say more about that. Involvement, that human beings have is their way of participating in life. Now, the emotional investment they have is simply involves how much they care. So they can care a huge amount and as a result have very, or they can have, they can be graceful in their life, in their stance towards life. And if they are graceful, it won't, life will not take a toll on them the way it would if they're in you might say emotional invested. And that's the key, is how much toll does life take on people. So a person can say be a tennis player, and the toll that it takes is determined by how much pressure they put on themselves. That's what's going to take the toll, is how much pressure they put on themselves. Now, a person who's, you would say, is very, very graceful, is very mindful of how much pressure they're putting on themselves. So it makes a difference. And the reason it makes a difference, because that pressure is going to take a toll on them.
So can I just dig a little deeper? Like, when we say invested, like, often there's like a mismatch that athletes have. They believe that their well-being depends on a specific outcome. Like, they have an emotional stake to the outcome. They think they need to feel, they need to win a match to feel good. And that's a mismatch, because it's a flawed understanding of how our experience works, right?
Exactly. No, that's very true. People don't understand the fact of pressure. They don't understand the fact of pressure. And the pressure that you bring to bear, let me see how to say it. The pressure that you bring to bear in your athletic pursuits comes back on you as stress and strain.
And one of the reasons for this is that, like, if their happiness depends on a result, or their self-worth depends on a result that they can control, then they're causing more thinking about that as well, right? They're causing more thought-provoked stress, and they tense up more before matches, and it makes their ability to perform well harder, and their ability to feel good harder. What happens if a player is really involved? Like, can you explain what the difference is, like, in terms of well-being and performance, and maybe how we can be more involved as well?
Well, here's what matters, is how much your heart and your soul are in your performance. Now, that matters to people, how much their heart and soul in their performance. And if people's heart and soul is in their performance, it's easy for them to increase their level of involvement. And sometimes you don't even realize that the person is as involved as they appear, because they're so into it that they just whole heart and soul is in what they're doing. And that's someone who is captivated by their experience. They let me see how to say it.
It's a bit like the flow state, right, in sports. Like people talk of flow, but actually when they're in it with their heart and soul,
yeah,
that's what they mean.
That would be another definition of it. So
I love it because there's so many complicated definitions about flow, but you make it so simple, actually. You really come to the essence of what it means when a player is in flow.
Well, you know, one of the ways you can evaluate how much flow you have, if you feel like you've disappeared in your performance. So you're aware that you're performing, but it doesn't take a toll on you. So there's a way that find a way to be relaxed while you're performing.
So it almost feels effortless.
Yeah, exactly.
George, in terms of athletes, where there's, of course, enormous pressure, and you will, I'm sure, elaborate on where that pressure comes from, but where does mental well-being really come from in terms of, for an athlete, a competitive athlete?
Well, people feel this pressure, and you generally, I don't know where it comes from, but it comes from their own psychological function. So unbeknownst to them, they're putting intentionally or unintentionally putting tension in their game. Now the opposite of that, what makes people, what the saving grace of human beings is that you can perform at a high level without that tension. So if you don't have the tension of performance, your level will go up in terms of the level that you're playing. That's the key to higher levels.
So it's almost a little bit paradoxical. Like,
it
in
is.
Order to play your best, you need to let go of wanting to play your best.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
And how do you combine being super ambitious, but understanding that your well-being and your self-worth doesn't depend on your results?
Well, I think that people who are too tuned in to the results of what they're doing in life put themselves under pressure. That's the source of that pressure. In a way, you have to get over yourself. You have to get over whatever you're putting your pressure, you have to get over the pressure that you're putting yourself under.
And how do you do that?
Well, one thing is you intend to do it. You see the link between the pressure and well-being. You know that your well-being is compromised when you feel pressure. So pressure is tells you that your well-being is being compromised. So if you're under pressure, you'll feel it because you'll feel the tension that's involved there. And that will give you the opportunity to reset yourself.
Let me see if I've understood this, George, because if you're a tennis player or an athlete,
yes,
and you know that pressure, stress, is not going to do you any good, that is not going to... It's a bit like saying to me, don't worry, or anybody, don't worry, because we're so well practiced at some of these negative behaviors. How can a player, even if they know that stress is bad for us, we all know stress is bad for us, but how can a player, an athlete, whichever sport, how can they use that knowledge and then, if you like, become not stressed, become not anxious? How?
Well, it's really simple, because the opposite of stress is a state of relaxation. So if a person finds their ability to relax, is going to be game changer for you.
Does this mean? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Does this mean that once we understand that thoughts come and go, and we no longer take them too seriously, is that when we start relaxing more? Is that when we start feeling more mental health?
Well, I think that's a really good point. I think that's exactly right. That if you don't have to take your thoughts too serious, that's going to make it possible for you to relax. So, for example, if you find that you're thinking too hard or too intensely, if you step back from that, your mind will relax on its own.
So if I'm hearing you right, it's really the understanding of what shapes our experiences, our feelings. It's this understanding that actually makes us feel better. It's not like necessarily a technique or anything else. It's really knowing how our thinking works and knowing when our thinking is helping us, but also knowing when not to take our thoughts too seriously.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better than that. That's exactly right. And the problem that human beings generally have is you're right. They take their thinking too seriously.
And is this connected to our ability to be conscious of our experiences? Like, you know, at one level, people think what they see and what they think is their reality. And then, like, there's people who are more conscious of their thoughts. They see how their thoughts are, this fluid energy that comes and goes. And so for them, it's much easier to detach from their thinking. And would you say there's like different layers of consciousness that athletes could have?
Well, the whole point is to lose yourself in your experience. That's the gold standard. So if a person loses themselves, and the level of self-consciousness is going to go way down, and that's what's going to make them perform at it.
As an example, George, in a tennis match or any sport where a score is so commonly announced, you could say that it's very hard to be in that kind of zone because you're being told all the time what the score is, you know how many points you need to get to win the game. Or you could have a situation in soccer, we call it football, where the person on the sidelines holds up how many minutes left. How do you stay in that situation where you're just not thinking? You're almost being forced to think all the time.
Well, it may appear that way, but you do have options, and you can go in the direction of the same way that you can go in the direction of being self-conscious. You can also in the direction of being easygoing.
That sounds hard.
So in a way, yeah, it's a personal choice that you do as a human being. You can either get self-conscious or not. And when you get self-conscious, you enter a different world.
It sounds easier. Sounds easier than the, said than done, though.
So much. Well, that's true. That's what too as well. That's true. But the elite player have their own resolution to the issue of self-consciousness. They understand self-consciousness and how it takes a toll on you.
So I think that's the key, right? Once someone really understands that being self-consciousness doesn't help them, that's where suddenly a shift could happen. If you really understand that being self-conscious will hinder your performance and your well-being, why would you still be self-conscious?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Because not only that it absolutely is going to help, is going to hurt your enjoyment of what you're doing. So people don't enjoy what they're doing as well when they're self-conscious as they do when they're not self-conscious. So if nothing else, it absolutely interferes with your enjoyment of whatever you're doing.
And I remember a story from you. I think it was a story like where you were advising these workers at a company who were being laid off within a year, and they were very miserable. And you were asking them if they're like giving their best and really trying to still enjoy their last year and being fully involved in what they do. And they said, why should we do that? Like, we're being fired. Why should we be fully engaged? Why should we give our best? And you told them, because you'll enjoy what you do much more. And yes, the time will fly much quicker. And then they really took your advice to heart, and they started to be more involved, more engaged. They loved what they did, and in the end, they performed so well that they were kept in the company. They were like integrated in the new plans.
Exactly. It's exactly how. And there's a link between job satisfaction and enjoyment. That there's a strong link to jobs of satisfaction and enjoyment. When people are in a state of enjoyment, it really works for them.
George, in sports, though, athletes lose consistently, right? And they have setbacks, they get injured, they have visible disappointments. How would you recommend an athlete who comes to you and says, you know, they're really upset, they missed this huge chance, or they just got this huge injury? How would you advise them to deal with that situation?
You know, an easy thing is that people don't understand that they can get over their reaction to life. Human beings are built to get over their reactions to their experience. So their lit experience, for example, is disappointment or discouragement. They're built to get over that. A person is wired to get over their reactions, their gut reactions to life.
It's like a small kid. It's like a small kid when they cry, like, and you leave them moments to relax and chill, they'll forget like what they were upset at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good example of that potential in human beings. Left to their own devices, they will get over themselves. Given the opportunity, they'll get over themselves. Because all it takes is a little bit of reflection, and they're on their way.
What kind of reflection?
All they have to do is clear their mind. So if they, if a human being cleared their mind for 15 seconds, they would be, it would make a big difference to them.
Thing is, though, George, following on from that, of course, as you said, human beings have this innate ability to cope with disappointments. But my question to you is this.
Right.
For example, you often see it in championship boxing, where a boxer gets takes a count. And that could affect his performance in the next round. So, of course, we all cope with disappointments. But some can do it within a short space of time and some with a long space of time. Of course, the ones who do it within the short space of time are the ones who are better off moving on in their performances, their subsequent performances. So how can you limit, how can you help yourself over that recovery?
One thing is to remember that you are capable of getting over yourself and your emotional reaction. That's step one. If you can realize, wait a minute, I'm built to get over my emotional reactions. It's part of my
DNA.
Yeah, you know, like I know you used to use it as gave that thing about that example of kids. Kids are unbelievable at getting over themselves, and they're models, role models for getting over themselves. Adults could do that if they put their minds to it.
So it sounds like we learn how to become unresilient through age, through conditioning.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that might relate to us becoming very self-conscious and suddenly really caring about outcomes that we don't control.
That's true. You know, like the fact that, I mean, it's if you step back, you'd have to say that human beings are much more self-conscious than they need to be.
You know, George, I've spoken to many athletes and many people associated with athletes, and I know, for example, somebody who was married to one of the greatest tennis players ever, and he said to me that when his wife lost, it was almost like the end of her world. But at the same time, she would go out on the court literally immediately to practice. So where's the balance in terms of coping with setbacks, because you know that they're going to dissipate, that disappointment, and then using it in order to go forward, to practice, almost like to consciously beat it out of your system?
Well, it goes down to what you were saying about getting over your reaction. That's all we're talking about here is, a person gets upset. The question is, how long is it going to get for them to get over the feeling of upset? It could take them a short time, or it could take them a long time. You know, all you're doing is getting over a knee-jerk reaction. That's it.
But if you're a player, George, who goes out after losing, that you and And you could either use your, what you said, that you'll naturally get over it, I guess, in the same way that some people say time is a great healer, or this player I mentioned goes out immediately an hour afterwards or the day afterwards and gets back on the practice court. That's almost like forcing your way out of it, isn't it? Which is better?
Well, it's better to not get into a reaction in the first place. So the thing is, as a human being, you're going to have your ups and downs. And if you understand that you're going to have your ups and downs, you're not going to take them seriously. That's why kids are so great. They get they're resilient. They get over themselves. They're resilient.
So I want to dig a little bit more on this topic. One of the most frustrating things for athletes is when they play really great in practice matches and maybe even great in early rounds, but then when they have the big match, the important match, or the big points, suddenly their game crumbles and they're not able to rise to the occasion. Is there... I'm just trying to dig on what we already spoke about. Like, how can a player clear their mind before a big match or during these crucial moments in a match and really be more involved and less invested?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the key, is increasing a person's involvement. So you want to have an involvement such that you're totally filled up by the moment. That's what you're looking for. When people are totally filled up by the moment, they're at their best.
In a metaphor, would that mean instead of focusing on what's going on inside my head, I'm completely immersed with my game, with what's going on outside?
Yeah, that would be the way it would play out. You'd be more swept in, I guess would be the best, swept up in your performance than, that you're swept up by the, in your performance.
Meaning you don't have time, or you're not giving yourself the time to actually think about your performance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's true too. That's another way to say it. You lose your self-consciousness.
I've got a question for you, George. Because this notion of mental health, as I mentioned to another guest, you can see physical health. You can put a plaster over a cut. But let's say you're in the middle of a football match, a hockey match, a tennis match, and you have a meltdown. How would you, if you were called on as the mental physio, hypothetically speaking, how would you deal with the player or tell that athlete? What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I'd say that everybody has their difficult moments. So it's not front page news that a human being doesn't perform well. So it's not like there's so much at stake. Everybody understands that sometimes you do good, other times not so good. So I think part of the issue is getting over your reactions to life, and that people can do a great job of getting over their reaction to life, or they can do not such a great job. But it depends on you and your reactions.
And I guess that ties back to really understanding the inside out approach to well-being and to performance, right? Like once we get that, then these things happen more naturally.
Yes, that's true.
I wanted to ask you just one question leading on from that, George, because there's been a lot of talk in the tennis world, for example, Naomi Osaka talking about press conferences. And we were talking a moment ago about how you cope with major disappointments. And one of the ways of dealing with it is knowing that they come and they go. But when you've got to go and face a press conference and then you're going to be reminded of it, then it's exactly what you're saying is the worst thing for it, because you're constantly feeding that negative thinking process about the performance. So how do you advise a player or an athlete in that situation?
Well, I mean, it's really simple in a way, because all we're talking about is a person's, let me see how to say it, if I can say it a different way. All we're talking about is a person's negative feelings, getting over themselves. That's really what we're saying, is how long is it going to take for someone to get over their negative reaction to life?
And just to see if I understood you right, like, it's not actually the losing a match or the press conference that is making a player feel upset. It's their reaction to that event that's causing all those feelings. And once we see that, then it becomes much easier to shift our reaction.
Yeah. And some people are excellent at getting over their getting over themselves. And other people are not so good. So that's a variable.
But George, some people were not good, and suddenly throughout their careers they become good at it. And maybe they had insights, and like maybe they saw something freshly and differently that really changed the way they react to external events.
Oh, that's true. That's true too. So some people might have a really sharp learning curve about themselves and about their reactions to life.
George, before we come to our final question, where can people learn more about your work, or where can they sign up to the courses you offer or connect to you in any way? On your website, you offer some very valuable courses. I took quite a few of them. And that's where most people can learn more about you, right?
Yeah, I have over 100 courses.
Final question. If you had to give one piece of advice to athletes who are struggling with mental health, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them to get over their reaction.
Nice and simple. Thanks, George. This was really a very enlightening discussion. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
George, thank you very much from me as well. And from Alon. And listen, we both were very excited to even have the chance to speak to you. Not once, but we've done so twice, which is actually quite a thrill for both of us who are big fans of your work. So, and I'm very, very grateful for you to giving us your time, you know.
Do head over to the Thrive website. That's www.thrive, spelt THR, the digit 1, VE.space, where you can sign up for further giveaways and, of course, tips. That's www.thrive, spelt THR, 1, VE.space. After all, this is your space to thrive.